Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bacon Smiles podcast, episode number 53. Mm-hmm. That's right. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yes, excited. It's been like 3 weeks again. Yeah. We've been getting out of rhythm, but it's summertime.
Summertime.
That's an old song.
Yeah. That song's older than our confirmation students.
Everything is older than our confirmation students. They are now like born after I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dave Dumain was showing a Shrek video for our ninth graders this year.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there going, wait a minute. Shrek is older than these kids.
Yeah, that's the question, is whether or not they know movies like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I'm sure they do, being that they pretty much grew up with it, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, and you would assume that hopefully their parents, like, want them to know that movie because it's a great movie.
Yeah, and it has a lot of great references.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. If you want to send us a quote, your favorite quote from Shrek, that'd be awesome. Let's go through the breakdown.
Don't care.
So you went on a trip last week.
Yeah.
Before that, Jen did a Catholic Heart Work Camp, and actually there is a Catholic Heart Work Camp right here in Manchester, Connecticut. So we'll talk about that a little bit in my experience with Catholic Heart Work Camp. And then we have some funny stories with smart home devices.
Yes.
So we're going to share a couple of those. And then you have music.
Absolutely.
Our saint of the day is Saint Agnes D, a Vietnamese martyr. And reading of the day, you got it pulled up right there.
Matthew 10, verse 1 through 7.
Perfect. Matthew 10, 1 through 7. If you want to get your Bible out and follow along.
Flip through those pages.
How was your trip? Where'd you go?
It was good. So we went to Texas. Jen has some friends from middle school that recently got married, and her husband's from Texas.
Awesome.
He came up to Connecticut, lived up here for a little while, and then she said, well, I'm kind of having difficulty finding a job. Hmm. The jobs that he was doing was down in Texas.
Awesome.
So they decided to get an apartment down there. Beautiful apartment just right outside of San Antonio.
Oh.
And I was joking with you before the podcast and saying, actually, some days that we were down there, it was cooler down there than it was up here in Texas
nuts.
Up here in Connecticut last week.
It was so hot up here.
Like, it was warm down there, but not as oppressive as it felt here.
Up here, it was like if you ventured out of air conditioning, you were just mauled by heat. It was so unbearable. Mm-hmm. You spent any time outside and you were like, this is terrible. This is a terrible idea.
Right. Bad air quality. You just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So we ended up, one day, our friend was great because she looked up a bunch of things that were fun to do in Texas. Some of these things she hadn't done yet.
Oh, cool.
But we went tubing along a river. We ended up going to the beach right on the Gulf of, right above Mexico.
Oh, awesome.
And so they're like, yeah, just watch out for the sharks as they're venturing in the water. Look out for the jellyfish.
Oh.
But that
you
was
see
fun.
All these videos and then we had like with sharks. And it's like, don't you realize there are sharks?
Well, what was funny, and I didn't think about this, was her husband's from Texas. And the idea of swimming kind of scares him a little bit.
Mm.
And we didn't really understand why until Lizzie said, well, actually, it's because if you grow up in an area like that where there's water that's just kind of stagnant, you run into the risk of flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, yeah.
So we'd be driving back from the beach, and we'd see people on you know, little paddle boats and stuff like that standing and paddling through the water, and they're going, they shouldn't be doing that in that area. That water's closed off for a reason.
Yeah, okay.
So that being that that's the culture they've grown up with, whereas here in New England, you know, you just drive right to Rhode Island or the coast, and you just
open
go
water.
Swimming, boogie board and stuff like that.
Well, that's so a lot of what we do up here, it's lakes that are river fed or it's the ocean.
And it keeps moving.
Exactly. And so it doesn't get stagnant. It doesn't grow that bacteria. But the other thing is, we don't have a lot of issues with anything that's going to eat us.
Right. Thankfully. But it was so funny because when we were going through the river doing the tubing thing, that thing came up too, because the water is regulated. But she said there are snakes that once in a while do get in the water. So if you see something chasing you, just paddle as fast as you can.
Oh, like, good.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for looking this up, Lizzie. We're looking forward to this adventure.
Yeah, it's always funny when they're like, hey, it doesn't happen very often, right. But occasionally super deadly story. Things happen. Yeah.
But probably the funniest dark humor moment was when we were driving back from the beach. So this was down like southeastern part of Texas where we went down to the Corpus Christi beach. Coming back, we were taking 37 north, if you're familiar with the area. We're heading towards San Antonio. And apparently, in this stretch of highway, it's a popular path for butterflies to migrate from Texas to Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Especially during the winter season. Being that we're in the middle of summer, we were still seeing a lot of butterflies because some of them just don't travel as far as others.
Okay.
But you look around and see clouds of them. But they're not smart enough to fly high enough.
Oh.
So you'd be flying along, and then you just hear on the windshield...
Oh. And it's big, like butterflies gotta make a mess.
So you see the mark, and Jen's going, no! Harrison's got the windshield wipers and the fluid going, and then you hear another.
Oh, man.
It was just.
Oh, but if
it's nonstop.
Like, oh, it's that
But it was
big.
It was pretty. I mean, it was pretty to see them flying.
I've hit like dragonflies and stuff. I drive for a living, so I hit big stuff, but butterflies are big.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got
We drive by trucks, and their whole front was covered in goo. This is taking a really, really sick turn.
It's still funny.
Yeah. So Jen's just back there going, this is the saddest. And Lizzie goes, that's the saddest little. You'll ever hear.
You guys are just a bunch of murderers.
it's like
butterfly apocalypse going on.
Is there anything worse than the word manslaughter? What are you in here?
Just murdering butterflies. Slaughtering butterflies.
That's right. Living on the edge.
But so right before you guys left for Texas, Jen actually had gone on a trip.
Yeah, she literally got back, threw some clothes in the laundry, washed them, and then repacked her bags, and then we went off to Texas. Yeah. But it was great because a couple, like maybe a year or two ago, I was playing this podcast for Jen because there's this church in Tennessee where a lot of musicians that are touring, especially Christian musicians, they'll go into this church, and the pastor does these sermons that are quirky and slightly nerdy and great humor to it and brings a great light to what he's talking about. And there was one where he was talking about Elvis Presley and how he accomplished all these things, but in the end, he was always kind of bummed out and going, you know, I wish I did more ministry stuff. You know, it didn't matter how big Graceland was built to be. It didn't matter how many gold records he had. At the end of the day, he's like, I feel like I could have done more.
Yeah.
With all the connections the pastor was making, I thought the whole thing was amusing enough that I was like, hey, Jen, you got to listen to it. I didn't realize that was something that was in her head. So when she's listening to him talking about Elvis, that kind of brought out some strong feelings in her. And she's like, you know, I really do feel like there's more I can do. And I said, well, you do a lot with the kids in your school where you're helping them learn to do art and this and that. She's like, I don't feel like it's enough. So when our friend Linda reached out to her and said, hey, you know, we're looking for an additional chaperone for mission trip, and the kids asked if you would help out on this, would you be interested? She got really excited. Going up to the trip, leading up to it, her introverted self started getting nervous.
Okay.
And she's going, I'm going to miss you. I said, you're going to have a great time. She said, but it's going to be weird. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
I rarely heard from her that week because she was having such a great time. And every now and then I'd get texts.
Yeah.
But when she came back, she said, it was so cool.
It's really hard not to be in the moment. And it's really hard to keep in touch. As I've done like 6 of them.
Yeah.
And Eva has been along for the ride of being at home. where even before we were married, she would stay here with Buster for the week or take mm-hmm. care of the house for the week and stuff like that. And so it's, I would have to text her at like midnight, you know, 12:30, 1 in the morning after finishing my security patrol at Catholic Heart Work Camp. But yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard to stay in touch with people back home because you have to be on like the whole time. But it's also a really awesome experience.
And I didn't expect to hear from her much. And the fact that I didn't made me feel good because I was like, great, she's having a good time. She's not regretting it.
Yeah.
She came back and said the teens were great. Like the stuff they did during the week, and then on their last day they had a free day. So they went, the original plan was to go to Six Flags by Lake George and then do the long drive after. But then I guess last minute the teenager said, hey, can we do some outdoor hikes instead?
That's awesome.
They ended up going to some lakes and did some hiking up some mountain areas and just had a great time.
That's awesome. And yeah, you sent me a funny picture, which is great, of the group. And that's an awesome thing that the teenagers would rather go out and hang out together in more of a tight-knit group and go hiking and experience the nature and, just the beauty of God's creation. And that's so awesome.
And seeing that they were posting pictures on Instagram, too, and saying, hey, this is what we're doing.
That's great.
That's cool to see, too.
Yeah.
You know how teenagers can get shy on social media, too.
Exactly, and they're not shy about what they're there for,
right?
Which is really cool, you know? And the other part is they get to see other kids. So they get mixed in with other groups of teenagers and meet kids from all over the country. This one was in upstate New York, but we've gone to Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, Champaign, Alabama. We've gone all over the place. So you get to see other kids because they come from all over, too. So we're just from Connecticut, you know, and there'll be kids from Minnesota and everywhere else. And so you get to see a larger group of people. And our friend Steve D'Amata, who's the youth coordinator at St. Teresa of Calcutta, he is like the location manager, for lack of a better term, for the Catholic Heart that's here in Manchester. And so he had to work with organizations and put together the service projects and stuff like that, and he's the point of contact for the other groups and stuff like that. So it's cool to kind of see that end of it too, and see what goes into everything, you know. And over the years you get to know the directors of the camp and the young adults who volunteer for the weekends and stuff like that. And man, it's a well-oiled machine, and it's so powerful because daily mass, worship, all that goes into that, and the amazing priests that meet the young people where they're at, you know? And so they're not, I don't know, they don't make them feel bad. And approach it just knowing that, you know, we're all sinners and we're all trying to make it along. And where you're at when you're a young person, just to grow in your faith amongst other young people is really helpful. And to see that they're not alone in their struggles and in their yearning for that hunger, you know. And so it's really important. And the service work and the things we've done, the last one I did, we were at a home for homeless pregnant women. And it's just to think that something like that exists.
Right.
You know, and I never would have thought of someone being homeless and pregnant, you know, and it like opened my eyes to that existing. And it's actually a really crazy story because my sister-in-law, Eva's sister, actually just adopted a baby, and that baby's birth mother is homeless. So it's like, wow. You know, I worked at a home and cleaned out this house and helped do our group helped do a lot of things for homeless pregnant women, and now my niece it was born of from a homeless woman. So that's like the crazy thing, you know, of that, you know, just that, not that coincidence, but that God moment where it's like, wow, you know, I didn't even realize that this was like a thing before, But now I experience that. But just all the things that Catholic Heart Work Camp is a great organization. And if for any youth ministers or anyone out there that's looking for information on it, just search Catholic Heart Work Camp because they do a great job. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to get started in mission trips, I would definitely recommend them because all you have to do is book your travel, sign up, register for an individual camp. And they take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. You know, they tell you what you need to bring. They tell you what, you know, what style of clothes you should wear, what work gloves, everything, so that you don't really have to do much of the legwork. I know other places you go to for mission trips, and you're kind of trying to, you have to do a lot more of the legwork as far as finding service projects and stuff to do while you're there. This is... You just go and experience a lot, you know, adoration and confession and daily masses, and it's just awesome. And you just, it, like I said, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an awesome, fun time, and you, it's really powerful to see what the experience of the young people. I'm sure Jen shared that
with you.
Yeah.
Just the change from the beginning of the week as a group and to the end of the week. And then that sense of accomplishment of when you hear someone going, why is our list of work so big? And then you end up accomplishing more than that.
Right.
You know, and that's what you always strive to do. So, anyway, it was awesome, awesome experience for me, and I'm sure Jen had a similar experience. So, on to our next topic. So, recently you purchased some smart devices?
Yeah, we were talking about this at the end of the last podcast after we had wrapped up and found out that we kind of do similar jokes with our with our spouses. So, what I was sharing with Steve was about a month ago, Jen and one of her close friends was going to a concert in Hartford. And so before they left, Jen had said to me, wow, what are you going to do? You're going to have the house to yourself for the evening. And I said, oh, you know, probably watch Netflix, hang out with the cat. I don't know, just kind of a low-key night. As soon as they left, I ended up going to Lowe's because I wanted to get some smart switches. And I wanted to do that for a while just because they're energy efficient.
Yeah.
And so I go out, grabbed it, and then got another lamp for our living room, basically plugged in the smart plug. And basically, this is something that you can control with a sensor and with a smartphone app.
Yeah.
So I routed all the lights in our living room to this one smart switch. And then had it behind our living room is our den. I had the light on in there, shining down the hallway floor, and you wouldn't know that that light was on unless if all the other lights in the main floor were to go off.
Yep.
So I was thinking this could be really, really cool. So I got a Bluetooth speaker, put it in the den, went upstairs. Jen texts me like 12 o'clock in the morning, hey, coming home now. Her friend was going to crash at our house for the night, so I didn't respond to the text. I was just like, I want them to assume that.
Yeah.
I'm fast asleep. So around 12:30 in the morning, I hear the door open, and Jen whispering to her friend, shh, we got to be quiet. I think Evan's sleeping. And at that point, I hear the door close. Upstairs, I hit the button on my app. All lights in the living room go out. The light's shining down the floor in the den. I hit play on my laptop, and down below, Tiptoe Through the Tulips from Tiny Tim starts playing. And in retrospect, like I watched the test footage back on my computer. If I was in that situation, I would have probably cried. Jen's quiet for like a split second, and I hear her shouting, Evan! At the top of her lungs. Meanwhile, her friend Sierra is still being like quiet because she's like, he might still be asleep. And then for the twist at the end, she's yelling, Evan, probably assuming I'm in the den playing the music.
Yeah.
I get out of bed from upstairs, run around the corner, turn on the light and go, what? As chaos is down below. So I got a stern talking to for that.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, we've gotten more smart switches since. She's all on board on it. So we won't do smart locks or anything like that. But just light control and
yeah.
That's great. You did something similar like that, too.
So I have a smart plug with a lamp, but I also have an Echo, an Amazon Echo, a little Dot. And I bought it because I installed them for work, and I want to be able to figure out how it works and play with it at home. But I also have three Wi-Fi cameras. One is a baby monitor, and the other is the other two are just Wi-Fi cameras. And so what I realized is through the app of my camera, it was close enough to my Amazon Echo that if I spoke through my Wi-Fi camera, I could command Alexa to do things. And so I could look on the baby monitor and see that Eva was in the nursery.
Right.
And I had a Sonos speaker in the nursery. And so through the camera, I would say, Alexa, play whatever in the nursery. And Eva is not a fan of the Beatles. We can discuss that later, but she's not a fan of the Beatles. And so I would just be like, Alexa, play the Beatles in the nursery. And so it would just start blaring the Beatles. And so at the time, she could hear something. Like, my house is not that big. Right. She could hear something talking in the living room, and then music is blaring in the room that she's
in. That would freak Jen out like nothing else.
So then I'm on my phone at work. Right. Then I click over to the camera that's in the nursery, and I see her flipping out. And so every once in a while, I was like, Alexa, play scary music in kitchen. And all of a sudden, through the camera app, I just hear, Alexa, stop. I did it when Eva's friend was here, and she goes, what's happening? Eva's just like, it's Steve. So her friend is like, is he like watching us right now? This is really creepy.
Yeah.
But this is every once in a while. And so I could, the cool thing is so I'm not sure if your Switch can do this too. Like, you can just turn off the light even when you're not home.
Oh, yeah. I did that the following morning. So Jen and her friend are sitting on the couch, and I went to work. And so they're just talking and talking and talking, and I just go, and all of a sudden the lights go off. And then I'd get immediately a text in all capital letters, Evan, stop playing with the lights. Well, if you download the app, you can fix it.
Oh, so that's where Eva's like, you better log me into that app.
It's funny being that you mentioned Amazon Echo, because when we were in Texas, Jen's not for Amazon Echo or any, you know, smart devices like that, because she says it's all part of Skynet. We actually asked our friends Amazon Echo in Texas, hey, are you part of Skynet? And Alexa responded, I know nothing about it. And Jen said, shoot it. It knows. But we had so much fun with Alexa in Texas, where we were saying stuff like, it was the 4th of July. I said, hey, Alexa, sing us a patriotic song.
Yeah.
And she would start singing America the Beautiful. And then Lizzie's husband would yell across the room, Alexa, stop! And,
Well, that's the problem, I feel like they still haven't fixed, like, the glitches with Alexa.
Oh, really?
Mine is currently unplugged because randomly throughout the day, for no reason, she'll just pipe up and, you know.
Does she laugh?
No, it wasn't the laughing thing.
That was creepy.
I put it on simple mode, which is supposed to stop some of it, but you just hear, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. It's like, I didn't say anything. And so what I thought was maybe like the like it was just listening for like the in Alexa. Right. So I changed it to Echo, thinking, well, maybe that'll be just a little different. But still, like, you just hear the thing pop up, like, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Or randomly start giving you the weather. It is 90 degrees outside, and whatever.
Does it give the local weather, or does it give it for us?
Yeah, so it's just weird. Whatever. It's just like
different
your local weather.
Time.
But it was just going off randomly, which Eva's home all day with a baby, and she's just like, it's driving me insane. just this person speaking in the middle of the day for no reason. I ended up just unhooking mine. But I can still mess with
it's
Eva.
It's like one of those Furbies, you know? It just keeps talking at random times.
Oh, yeah. There's an old stand-up bit about, like, a Darth Vader piggy bank. Like, something got wedged in it, and it just went off randomly in the middle of the night. That's not creepy when you're trying to pee in the middle of the night. anyway, so that's just fun with smart devices.
Yeah.
I do want to change some of my like light switches for my outside lights just to be able to turn those on and off instead of coming home to a dark house or them just being on all night long. One or the other.
Right. Well, you know, with ours, it's been easy because when we were off at Texas, we'd have Jen's mom or best friend come over and take care of our cat.
Mm.
And I had a sensor by our door, so as soon as it sees the door start to open, it would turn on the lights.
Oh, that's great.
So if they were stopping by like late at night, they don't have to figure out which switch does what. Well, that's a nice little convenient thing. And you can also put it on a schedule.
Exactly. And that's what I've done with mine. You know, not to give it away, but it's so whether or not we're home or not, no one's going to be able to tell because my light is on a schedule and we leave it on when we're home, and when we're not home, it's going to turn itself on and off at the same time. So you're not going to be able to really tell when we're home or not. It's like the old school timers that they had for lamps, but now it's a little more advanced.
Right.
And so it's nice to have that kind of stuff. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
And I put them in all day, so I might as well take advantage of it. And I also find it cool, like when I'm at work or if I'm, you know, running late or Eva has to put Zoe to bed. Like, even right now, I can see Zoe on a monitor on my phone, like, to make sure that we're not being so loud that we're waking her up. But it's really cool because sometimes I work really long hours and I'm not home in time to put her to bed. Or I can see, Eva will send me, like, a little text, like, you got to see how Zoe's sleeping for her nap. And it's like she's sleeping, like, somehow on her head. You know what I mean? or it'll be just her, like, standing, dancing in her crib, and she'll be like, she's supposed to be napping.
Right. Has she started singing yet when she's supposed to be sleeping?
No. So what's really cool, she's been saying dada for, like, a month now, maybe a little longer, but she started saying mama, and so now it's melting Eva's heart when she wakes up in the middle of the night or early in the morning. And just being like, mama, mama. And then, like, kind of crying and making all sorts of noises. But, yeah, the mama has started, which is cool. And Buster is Bubba, which is cool.
Very nice.
But, yeah, so it's cool because she's making all sorts of noises and everything like that. But I like having the cameras and stuff. So I kind of feel a little more secure when we're not here or when I'm not here. I can kind of see what's going on. But yeah, what you got in music?
So one thing that I was actually listening to before today's podcast is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with New Song. They were a big band, like one of my coworkers calls them like the Christian Chicago band.
Oh.
But they were big in the late 80s, early to mid 90s, and then around 2000, they kind of struggled trying to find their music fitting in the current trends of music. So they've had kind of a hit or miss last couple of years, but yesterday they put out a new song with Christian rapper Tedashi.
Oh,
and when I saw that, I was like, you know, it could be really, really good or okay.
Yeah,
you know,
but being
that Tedashi was on it, I was like, he wouldn't sign on to something that's not.
He must have heard the track beforehand, or at least gotten the, like, style that it was going to be in, you know, and that's cool.
And the song is good. It is really, really good.
It's straight fire.
It is lit. It is off the chain, and it is called Already Loved. So if you ever get a chance to check it out, it's on YouTube, Already Loved. And Russ Lee, who's one of the singers for the band, they alternate between singers.
Oh, cool.
He does like a Bee Gees high-pitched singing style on this song, which is unusual for him.
Okay.
So it's like stepping out, trying something a little different, and then Tadashi comes on and starts rapping. So it's really, really cool. Other artists that are releasing music, this week we have Need to Breathe with their new project called Forever on Your Side. And Martin Smith from Delirious is putting out a CD called Love Song for a City. And then next week, Pat Barrett from House Fires, who wrote Good Good Father, is putting out his self-titled album. If you ever get a chance to check him out on Instagram, the guy's a hoot. I had a chance to talk with him a couple months ago, and the guy's just hilarious and really, really talented. And then Joel Vaughn is coming out with a CD called Control Volume 1 at the end of the month.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. A lot of good stuff coming out.
Absolutely, yeah, especially with the summer and, you know, everybody's getting the super poppy, fun albums out. So.
And I can only imagine just came out on DVD.
Have you had a chance to see
it? I have not.
It is a good movie.
It's a little hard to, you know, get some time to watch movies. I do want to, I think I'm just going to buy it digitally on, like, Amazon. But, I definitely want to see it. And you saw it, and I heard it's really good.
And I talked to one of my friends who actually helped send the song, I Can Only Imagine, out to radio back when they had people actually going from radio station going, you gotta check this out.
You gotta try this, yeah.
And so he was part of that process, and he said watching that movie, he said it was an odd trip down memory lane, where he said a lot of that was very, very accurate. Some of the things they did switch up to make it more for a film.
Yeah, you know? Makes sense.
But he said a lot of it was very accurate. So it was good hearing that perspective from him.
Yeah, and I like when I see, like, on social media people talking about a movie like that, because you want things like that to do well, because you want more. Yeah. And that was a really, you know, it's a kind of a higher budget Christian movie when you consider the actor, like Dennis Quaid is in it. It's Dennis Quaid, right?
Dennis Quaid, yeah. Not Randy.
Not Randy.
He's still somewhere hiding.
Yeah. not Cousin Eddie.
No.
It was Dennis
Cousin Quaid. Eddie.
Just to have, you know, that kind of credibility to a...
Just imagining him go, what a surprise.
just coughing on a bone.
Very, very nice surprise. Thanks, Clark. But,
Are you serious, Clark?
When that DVD came out, it was the top-selling DVD in America when it came out.
Yeah. It goes to show you that... There is a silent, large amount of people out there that just tries not to make a fuss.
Right.
But when a really good Christian movie comes out, they're like, we're going to support
this. Good quality family movie.
Exactly. So, anyway.
Today's gospel reading.
Gospel reading is
Matthew
10, 1 through 7. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot.
I was going to say how impressed I am with you.
Tell that moment.
These hurdles.
Who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Ah, made it through.
You were doing really well with those names.
You know what? I was given a lesson in reading hard to read scripture.
Yeah.
And I was just told, read it with confidence because no one else can pronounce it either. A priest told me that.
Very good, very good advice.
But on a serious note, I love these readings that just really talk to the sacramental nature of our church. So I love being Catholic, and I love the sacraments and the anointing of the sick and the dying and the driving out spirits and stuff like that. Just, you know, the priest being able to go out and heal sinners and absolve sin and drive out demons. And that's where it comes from. Jesus said to the 12, go out, and handed them the power to drive out the devil and
absolve, be the hands and feet.
And be the hands and feet and absolve us of sin. So that's where confession comes from. That's where the anointing of the sick, that's where all that comes from, you know? Yeah. And that's, it's so awesome to see it, like, in Scripture. And so whenever anyone ever, oh, where does it say in the Bible that? Right here!
Right, right, exactly.
You know, and it's awesome. I love those Scriptures. And I also love where, you know, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Like, go find those who are lost. How many times in your life have you felt lost? Or how many times have you gone down the dark road and you just, like, I can't get this feeling. I can't stop this bad habit. Well, you're lost, and you need to be found. You know, you need to be brought back to the herd and brought back to the right path. And it's like, here we are, and that's why we have our priests, and that's why we have confession, and that's why we have our sacraments to help get those lost sheep. And you know, it's just so awesome. And that, I mean, that's what I get from this reading.
Yeah, I got the same. I mean, I was going to bring up that point, too, about the lost sheep at the end.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And that's, you know, and when you live that life, you know, and just brings me to our saint, St. Agnes D., a Vietnamese martyr. She was raised by a Christian family. And she was imprisoned and put to death for her religious belief, given the opportunity to deny, and wouldn't. And so she's a saint, Christian martyr. She's in heaven and can pray for us as a saint. And that's just, it's cool when you can live out that life and you know what living through Jesus is, you know?
Yeah.
And just, pumped up about it, you know?
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, what you got for news of the week?
So this one's great. This is a story out of Vancouver. And okay. apparently a burglar tried to break into a business. And investigators said that, and I'm trying to see when this was. This was a couple days ago. This was reported actually today.
Ooh,
but
wow.
a couple days ago, this guy tried to break into this business in Vancouver. Ended up taking a phone, a TV remote, and a beer from the business's fridge before realizing that he was stuck in the business and couldn't get out. It was an escape room.
No.
It was an escape room business.
No.
Yes. Yes. So he called 911 and was like, I'm experiencing a robbery in my house. I'm like, what's your address? So he gave them a fake address. They still managed to trace the call.
Wow.
By the time he was able to get outside of the building, the police were already there. But the owner said, you know, I'm a little bummed because of the damage this guy did, but it's also good to know that
yeah.
our escape room is 100% effective.
So he broke a bunch of stuff to try to get
right.
out. Unbelievable.
Right. That's so, and the owner said, I was really bummed out about it, but once I took a step back and said, this guy broke into my escape room and couldn't get out.
That's so awesome. Bet you that does well for business. It's
yeah.
a good promotion.
Yeah, he says, I'm the only escape room in the Northwest that has a 100% capture rate of criminals.
That is fantastic. You think? I mean, that is really good advertising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And especially now that it's on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People are going to be checking that out.
Awesome. Well, that music that's playing means it's time to wrap up the podcast. As always, I really appreciate all of you that listen. Those of you who watch live on Facebook or watch the video later, glad the audio seems to be working this time. but always, you can reach out to us on the Facebook page, on Twitter, Instagram, all those things. steve@baconsmiles.org is the email address. The music is getting louder and louder.
We're exiting music.
Get off the stage. But as always, I'm Steve Patera.
And Sean Mumford.
Thanks for listening. Keep smiling. And God bless.